All right. He said, here's the title and the topic. He said, can you preach a sermon on this? And you have liberty. I thank God for the last clause, the last phrase, you have liberty. Because when you look at the title in its, when I'm going to give it to you, it does sound like, oh, pretty dull. He said, what is the New Testament church and how can I be a part of it? Was the title. Okay, yeah, that's loaded. That's loaded. That's loaded. That's loaded. How do you do that in 20 minutes? Pray for me. Hallelujah. I'm excited. This is really what's on my heart, and it's been on my heart for a while. So let's pray. Father, I thank you that you're going to, by your Spirit, demonstrate, by your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, are going to take the words that I don't have the ability to articulate. I don't have the human capacity to convince or to preach a message that's going to do anything other than the dependence I have on you. Hallelujah. I trust in the Holy Spirit. And as Paul said, the words I preach today, may they be with the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit, that what it does in the hearts of the dear people gathered, including in my own heart, would be a work of God and not of me. Amen. And amen. And amen. Amen. That's a good, listen, that's exactly what we're going to preach on. Hey, hallelujah. All right, let's not get bored. This is what Jesus started. It's called the church. How many know this is Jesus' idea? All right, I think we have the concept. Oh, it's like this. Jesus said to one person, this is my church, and this is how it's supposed to look. I'm going to give you the model. I'm going to give you some examples. I'm going to show you. And that's what it's supposed to look like, right? Now you're going to tell that person, okay? And Betty's going to tell Rob. Rob's going to tell Vice, and it'll just go right through this whole place. Now, how many of you know when it gets to that person over there, it'll likely not sound the same? Anybody ever done that exercise, that kind of a game, right? I'm afraid that's what's happened. How do we recapture it? How do we recapture what Jesus initially said? Now, what's interesting is I want to take you to a few scriptures, and it's always a good place to start, amen? It's a place we got to go. It's where the answers are, amen? So in Matthew 16, you know that passage that Jesus was speaking to Peter? And, you know, Peter made this statement about Jesus said, who do you say I am? And he said, you are Christ, right? Remember that? And Jesus, upon this rock, I will build my. Okay. You all remember that passage? Let's just turn to that for a minute. Matthew 16:15. It's okay. What? You maybe just tilt it up a bit for me, Herb, if you don't mind. Just up like that a little. Just this part. Thanks. So Jesus says, thank you, that's wonderful. Jesus said to Peter, what about you? What, you know, he's, okay, let's start in verse 13. When Jesus came to the region, Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Because that was his title for himself. Now, it's interesting. Jesus is the Son of God, but he calls himself the. Anytime he addresses himself, you'll find himself, he'll find he's calling himself the Son of Man. Because that's his identity with the flesh and blood, us. He knew who he was. He was the Son of God, but he didn't have to go around bragging it up. It was manifest. So he calls himself the Son of Man, identifying with him. And also the fact that it's a messianic title. That was the title of the Messiah, the Son of Man. So it's a beautiful expression. Who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. What about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, which is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, or other translations would say gates of hell, the gates of Hades or gates of hell will not overcome it. Ooh. 2,000 years later, hell seems to be everywhere. Where's the church? Have we lost the idea of what Jesus originally intended? If the nations of the world, including our own leaders of our country, doesn't think much of Christians. Have you heard the statements? Have we lost our edge? Have we lost what Jesus said? I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What does that mean? Well, first of all, let me tell you something. Jesus did not come to establish an institution. By the way, is this being recorded? Thank you. Jesus did not come to establish an institution. Jesus didn't say, I will build my synagogue, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus didn't even say, I'm going to build my temple. The word Jesus used, it's an interesting word. Now, that word was a word which was used in a secular circle. In that society, it was primarily, you could say, Greek or Roman. You know, that was the culture. It was a Greek language, but who were in charge? The Romans. So after the Greek, the Romans took over. How many of you know your history? So Jesus uses a word which was used in that culture at that time to describe a movement. To describe what he was establishing. And the word he used, mark it down if you write notes, ekklesia. The original word in the Greek is ekklesia. Interesting word. In the Greek language of the day, when they used the word ekklesia, they would use it of a group of people who would be those who had authority, governing authority in an area to make a decision concerning a matter. And Paul and Silas were taken, when they were captured, And then it said there was a group of people gathered together to deliberate in that city to find out what they were going to do. They were called the Ecclesia. That governing authority to make decisions. In the Roman use of the word, it was a little different. Similar, but different. And it gives you another angle to it. So, in the Roman understanding of the word, it was you had something that you were granted because of your, it was like you had a privilege granted to you because of the connection you had with someone with authority. Or so let me give you the example. So you have Paul captured, and they were going to beat him up. The story in the Bible. And Paul says, hey, you can't do that to a Roman citizen. Being a Roman citizen gave him some kind of a connection that separated him from the rest because of his connection with Rome and maybe with Caesar, really. He said, I want to appeal to Caesar. Because he was a part of a group of people that were identified as being different, that had some authority, because they were the occupying, they were the people who occupied the land. Are you with me? In that time, when Roman citizens were in a city, they had a purpose, they had a mission. They had a reason. So actually, they would send a whole lot of Roman people into a city to occupy that city. So that city will then become what we use the word colonized. To become a Roman colony. Okay. Now, I think we've also abused that a bit. I'm going to say, because we quite didn't understand what it means in the words of Jesus and the understanding of what the church is meant to be, we've lost a sense of what that's really supposed to be. Because colonizing and colonialism isn't very good, is it? A lot of times it's bad, isn't it? Come on, are you following me? So let's separate the two for in a minute we will, but let's just think about this. The idea was, in that way, now if you understand it properly, it does make sense, but we kind of have misunderstood it. So what the idea was, so when Jesus says, I will build my church, he says, I'm building a community of people. I'm building a people. I'm establishing something on earth that's going to have authority, a governing authority, to make decisions. I'm going to have a people who are going to be a people who represent a, we'll call it this, another colony or another, represent an empire. Or, let's use another word, represent a kingdom. Are you following me now? That these people are going to be representing a kingdom. So it says in Philippians, he says, our citizenship is not on earth, it's where? It's in heaven. We're here to represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Jesus, throughout his being here on earth, he is demonstrating, living it out, and teaching the kingdom of God. True? So he gives these principles. You know, Jesus' teachings are a lot higher in standard than the law, by the way. Did you know that? Jesus just ups. He says, listen, and now I want you to get something here. So Jesus has a mandate for a people that he's calling out to be his own people granted with authority and power to bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. How many of you following me so far? So the church was never to do with the building. The church was never to do with these edifices. The idea of a church was to go into be in the world, or be in a community, or be in a region, wherever it was, that these would be his people who would be so impacted by kingdom of heaven. They would be so changed. And that's what I love about the gospel. The gospel of the kingdom has power to change our life. Once Colossians tells us that once we were a kingdom of darkness. Come on, follow me for a minute. Once we followed the ways of our own thinking and the ways of the world, the pattern in which we were, the culture of the world, but now we've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of his Son. Everything shifts. So the true church that Jesus is talking about is a representation of the kingdom of heaven on earth. What's God supposed to be like? What's his kingdom supposed to be like? You know the verse, Romans 14, there's a verse that says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that scripture? The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. God's purpose really is to see the world through believers in him who have come into the kingdom of God and having now been born again into his family are being changed, are being transformed, are becoming more and more like Jesus. And in their life and through their life, the culture in which we live, it's not like the culture you and I live in. The culture shouldn't change you. You should change the culture. If you're in the church, it's something. It's reformative. It's transformational. Are you with me? Big words. But a culture of the kingdom of heaven ought to change the culture of this world. Now, what does it mean to be a New Testament church? Let's have a look for a minute. So Jesus starts teaching the idea of what a church is to look like. He starts talking about it in the Gospels. You know how the Bible is, the New Testament goes? The Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are the life of Jesus while he was here on earth. And he's instructing people what life is to be like. He's teaching the kingdom. Are you with me? He's teaching about the kingdom. He's releasing the power of the kingdom. The kingdom of God has come to change lives. Right? Are you with me? But also to see the authority of heaven. The healings in the Bible, they're not just, it's a nice thing to do. The healings in the New Testament, the Gospels, are Jesus manifesting his kingdom. People being delivered of demons, it's Jesus manifesting his kingdom. People coming out of poverty, out of brokenness, out of all the mess that they're in, and coming into a freedom, it's Jesus manifesting his kingdom. Okay, now Jesus is getting ready to leave. He's been here for, 33 years, but only 3 years have been publicly ministering, right? Not very long. Think about this. And he knows that his time is over, but he knows that When he came with the mission and a purpose. And when his mission and his purpose was accomplished, he was going back to God. Right? But he knew that the message of the kingdom will continue to spread. Come on. He knew the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, will continue to have an impact. Come on. Are you with me? And he knew the way it was going to happen. So he prepared the people. First, he called the 12. And he gave them authority. They went out. They cast out demons. They healed the sick. They raised the dead. Many came into the kingdom. Are you with me? Then he called the 70. I'm just giving you a quick a little bit of a... And then they did the same thing. And then at the end of the Matthew's gospel, I want you to turn to this for a minute because I want you to see nothing changes here. Nothing changes other than the fact that there's going to be something released. These apostles, these disciples, they carried something and they believed in the message and they had been given authority by Jesus to preach the message and there was in some way they've experienced the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, not yet fully, but they still had it. They couldn't do without them. But now Jesus is going in Matthew 28. Come with me to Matthew 28. All right, just go there for a minute. Matthew chapter 28. And you know the verses quite well, but I want you to see it in the context of ecclesia. In the context of ecclesia. What's ecclesia? Church. Okay, so Jesus says in Matthew 28 and in verse 18. Then Jesus came to them. This is the last words of Jesus before he goes... Before he goes to the Father. Now, there are different Gospels that have a rendering of these words in a different way. But in Matthew's Gospel, it's called, we call it the Great Commission. It's the words of Jesus. And he says to these followers, because he knows he's going now, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth. Paul, being imprisoned, going to get beat up. Stop. I'm a Roman citizen. I carry authority. Just a simple example. Jesus, all authority. I carry heaven's authority. I carry heaven's authority. Are you with me? All authority in heaven. Heaven's authority, God's authority, is over all things. Heavenly and earthly and in between. All authority in heaven on earth is given to Jesus. We know. Okay, now you got to realize what he's saying here. It's been given to me. Now the word, next word is therefore. Okay, you got to get this, guys. This is what you have to get. If I don't get this part of it, then I'm just going to be like, oh, how do we do this? Because all authority in heaven and on earth is given to Jesus, he says, therefore, go. All right. Therefore, go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know what he's saying? Go. Hold my hand. Come on. Let's go. That's what he's saying. He's saying, go. But where is he? I'm Jesus. He's the disciple. Where is he? Where's Jesus? Hey, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to you. Let's go. Did you get it? Did you get that? All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Let's go. Did you ever see that before? If you haven't, I hope you see it today. Thank you. That's what he's saying. You're no longer citizen of this earth, my friend. You're a new man. You're born again. You're born of his spirit brought into his kingdom. John 3. When you're born again, you will see and enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now you have the authority of heaven. Something shifted. I think the sad reality is, well, I think there's a lot of sad realities to this, but one of the sad realities is that I don't even think well, first of all, we make a lot of excuses. I'm no different than you, by the way. So I'm not putting myself in a different place, but we make the excuse, I don't know how to do this. The Samaritan woman gets touched with the kingdom of God. How many remember that story we preached on a few weeks back? She gets touched with the kingdom of God. How much instruction does she have? How much instruction or knowledge does she have at that moment? She goes back to her town and tells everybody, and they all come up, and many of them turn to Jesus. Come on, how much knowledge and teaching and instruction she had? But what did she have? She had the kingdom of... She knew something happened. Something shifted. Something changed in her. Once she was part of the kingdom of darkness, now she became a kingdom of the light, the kingdom of God's dear Son, and now she carried something. And what's interesting is, I don't even know how much she knew. How much she knew she didn't know. How much she knew she knew. Don't get lost, but there's something in that. How much did she know she didn't know? In other words, she didn't know the authority and the power she carried. But she went out anyways. In her going, listen, he's saying, go and make disciples. Let me tell you something. This is not a call for you to just, okay, one day I'm going to get a call. One day God's going to call me. He's going to say, no, this is the mission. This is the place. This is the city. This is the province. This is the mission. This is the call. That's not the word, guys. You know what the word is? It's as you go, make disciples. You know what he's saying? As you go on living, as you go on breathing, as you go on through life, as you're going to work, as you're at home, as you're in your neighborhood, as you're in a coffee shop, wherever you're going, you're making disciples. You are being the ecclesia where you go. I'm going to ask another question. How many here came into the kingdom of God, you know, came into a personal relationship with Jesus in a church building, in a church, like a building of a church? How many of you came into a relationship with Jesus in a church building? Put up your hand. Okay, you know, I figured as much. Probably about 8 people. How many experienced that reality outside the building? About 80%. Well, that should tell you something. Does that mean we're not to have a building? No. Don't get it wrong here. But the problem is, we become so oriented about the building, about the gathering place. Is it important to gather? Yes. Jesus said it was important to gather. The disciples gathered together. But how did they change the city in a few days or a few weeks or a few months? But they did. Read the gospel. Read the account of the book of Acts. We got to add more one thing to the equation. Okay? The first thing is authority. The authority is they knew who they were. Sons of the kingdom. Daughters of the kingdom. Are you with me? Okay, that's important. So authority is they knew who they were. Brad preached a message, Brad Chugg, when he was here. He preached a message, and it was interesting because remember that he preached on authority and power? Were you here, Brian? Remember that message? He preached on authority and power. And it was interesting because he used his own example. Brad is an RCMP officer, right? All right, so he's an RCMP officer, retired now. So he said, authority, he talked about what was authority and what was power, because we're going to get to the second one now in a minute, power. But the authority that Brad carried was in the uniform he wore, because he was commissioned, RCMP, by the Queen or by the Government of Canada, to be a police officer. Right? Okay. But there was something else he was carrying that had the power. Are you with me? It's good to know you have authority, because it's really important. Because I can't do it unless I know who I am. And who's commissioned me? Who sent me? Are you with me? He sent me. He's commissioned me to go. And this going, listen, I'm going to say, maybe before I forget, I'm going to say it more than once probably. This going is 24/7. This going is 24/7. Wherever you are, you carry that authority. Now, he had something else as an RCMP officer. He was given, in his case, a gun in Great Britain to give you a billy stick. I don't know what they're going to do with the billy stick, but you know, in India they have big sticks, right? And the problem in India, we know they take advantage of the stick. Isn't that true? They get you in and they just beat you, and that's just how they exercise their power. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Unjust sometimes, but they figured they can do it. Okay, here it is. So Jesus commissions his disciples, but he also says, listen, I'm not only going to give you authority, I'm giving you something of a presence, something that is going to empower you. Because in John's gospel, the commission goes like this. It's really short. In John's gospel, he says, as the Father has sent me, I send you. And he breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. In some measure, they received the Holy Spirit in that moment. Because he's saying there's power coming in my breath. There's power coming through my breath. And he's going to empower all those who believe and give them the ability to walk in this power, in something that is greater than themselves, because we need that ability of God to do this. As I already quoted to you, when Paul came to preach in Corinthian church, I didn't come to you with my own ability. I came to you with a demonstration and the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so in Acts chapter 1, you know the story well. So after the gospel comes the book of? After Matthew, Mark, Luke, John comes the book of Acts. Okay. You've heard me say this before if you've been to some of my preaches. Maybe you haven't remembered, or maybe you haven't heard. The book of Acts is really well entitled in the terms that it's called Acts. But I think sometimes we lose the sense of the meaning of the book of Acts, because we don't see it in the context of its fullness. Let me give you the title of the book of Acts. Book of Acts is the Acts of Jesus Christ through his disciples, apostles. Acts of Jesus Christ through his disciples by the power of the Holy Spirit. Put that down as a title. Because Jesus only continues to do the work that he began to do. Don't lose sight of that. Who's doing the work through you? Jesus. By the power of Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, that just gives me, takes so much pressure off of me. It really does. People have given us great prophetic words. People have given me prophetic words. God has given me some promises. God has given you promises. And God's given you a vision or prophetic word through which you have now a vision. Hey, you have a vision. But aren't you glad that vision isn't for you to bring to pass in your own ability? This is important, guys. If I don't realize that the vision or prophetic words that God has given to me, or mission that God's given to me, is not empowered by Holy Spirit, then really, what use is it? Where's the power? It's my own energy, and there's all kinds of complications that go with that, including burnout, frustration, all kinds of stuff. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You know that passage. But you will receive power. You will receive power, which is the word, not only do you have authority, there's something. The word there is, it comes from the word dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite. You know that, right? That word there is actually explosive. You will receive something explosive. You will receive something that gives you get in the car. You, without the power, it won't go. Simon knows that. Don't you, Simon? I found out night before last that Simon had no power in the car. Oh, found out later, something that gives power had died, called a battery. Power is the ability. Power is the strength. Now if I go into a situation, because this is really important to make it practical. So as a church, as the ecclesia, as that which is commissioned by God to bring reformation, transformation, I mean, all of that's got to do with salvation. Listen, I am convinced salvation is the beginning of a life in Christ. Amen. Are you with me? But it isn't the end. Because I'm not sitting there twiddling my thumbs waiting to get, I got saved, so Jesus says, okay. But if salvation was the end, then you'd be going to heaven the minute you got saved. It's more than that. I'm not sitting there twiddling my thumbs. It's about God saying, now I have a company of people who are commissioned by me to go make a change, to be my ecclesia, to proclaim the gospel with power. With miracles, with signs and wonders, that the world will see that I'm the same Jesus who lived here, is now still operating in the world today. By the way, did you know in many countries the gospel is spreading like wildfire? How many of you know that? By the way, also, did you know that most churches that are seeing great spread of the word of God and great spread of the gospel are churches that believe in the Holy Spirit and his power? Just read it up. Even Baptists are believing in the power of Holy Spirit. Do you know one of the places that the gospel is moving powerfully in these last days is Brazil. How many of you know that Brazil has seen amazing on fire? You know, many of the Baptist churches in Brazil, you wouldn't know the difference between a Baptist church and a charismatic church. Read up on it. It's just Baptist out the door, but when you walk in, they're full-on charismatic. Full-on Pentecostal. Full-on gifts of the Spirit. Full-on healing and miracles and signs and wonders. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We should never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation, unto salvation. Romans 1 talks about that. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So they received power. They received this power of God. And it's now explosive. And what's happening? Listen to this. They got power, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, Holy Spirit comes on the church. And all of a sudden, something is going on, because when a bomb, explodes, it's going to be everywhere. It's going to have an impact. Everybody's going to know that bomb hit that place. Right? And you watch the gospel spread. It's wild. Read it. It's like, go on. What's the New Testament church like? It's explosive. It spreads. It multiplies. It grows. It's what Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. No matter what the culture looked like. As a matter of fact, they were so scared. If you read, by the time Acts 5 comes, Acts 2, 3, 4. By the way, Acts 2, the Holy Spirit comes. Peter preaches. Many get saved. Many are being added to the church daily. Come on, I'm just giving you some history. Read it, Acts chapter 2. Chapter 3, they're walking into a place by the temple, and there's a man who's lame from, crippled, and he's there begging. Do you remember that story? I don't have time to go to all these places. He's begging, and Peter and James come up to him, and they look at this man. They have compassion because Jesus gave them compassion. They had compassion. They didn't have any of this, but they had compassion. They didn't have any of that. How do I know? Because he was looking for? What was he looking for? What was he looking for? Come on. And what did they say? They didn't have any. They were being honest. They didn't have any. They said, silver and gold we don't have. But in the authority granted to us, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Come on. They saw themselves clothed with Jesus. They knew what they were to be a body of Christ. A body represents you. Who were they representing? The body of Christ. They were representing Jesus on earth. Man gets up and walks. Goes around, tells everybody. Right? You know the story. And by the time Acts 3 and 4 happen, the city is in uproar. The magistrates put Peter and James in. Come on, you know the story. They put them in prison. They're going to beat them up, rough them up a little bit, because this is disturbing the town. Let me tell you something. It was disturbing the town to a point people were coming to know Jesus through this man's witness. That's what's going on. These people were afraid to lose people from their camp, right? These are religious leaders. They experienced Jesus. Now, what's interesting is they roughed them up and they beat them up a little bit. And in Acts 4, I want you to see this. This is really important, guys. This warrants at least 2-3 messages, because we're going to be done here shortly. So Acts chapter 4. So look at what it says here. And it says here, after they had threatened them, they had They had told them not to preach in the name of Jesus. Do you remember the story? They threatened them. So after they had threatened them, they released them. And when they were released, I love this. This is important, guys. Verse 23, Acts 4:23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their people and reported all the chief priests and the elders said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made... Hey, they're not in charge. Right away they say, Sovereign Lord. You know what sovereign means? You're in charge. Come on, it's not the position or the condition that's in charge. It's not the province or the nation in charge. Come on, I want you to get this, guys. You know, we gripe and complain, oh, they're not doing enough. Ooh, maybe they're not. But I know one who's bigger than they. Even when we pray for the election, which we're hoping to do in a few minutes. I know who's bigger than they. Amen. Don't ever lose perspective. It's His kingdom we're coming to establish. It's His kingdom that will prevail. It's His church that's going to prevail. I'm praying for a righteous government. Anybody with me? Come on, I'm believing God for things to happen. I'm praying because it says if we don't pray for our leaders, we won't live in peace. But if we pray for our leaders, we'll be at peace. We got to bless this country, right? Amen? We got to bless our leaders. We got to see transformation and change take place. But there's someone greater than those that think they have the authority around me. And that's what they did. They came to the Lord. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything that spoke in, everything in them. You spoke by your Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant David. Why do the heathen nations rage? People plot a vain. Kings of the earth take their stand. And the rulers together against the Lord and against His anointed. I want to say something again. You know, maybe our current prime minister doesn't think well of Christians. Well, this is not private news. This is public news. So what do I say? God bless that man. Jesus said, bless those who? Bless that man with the revelation of Jesus. Let him kiss the Son, lest he be angry with them. How many of you know that scripture? He says, kings of the earth, kiss the Son. Psalm 2, prophetic word. Speaking to the leaders of the nation. Pray a blessing over the prime minister. Not sure who the next one will be, but let's remember. Our place is so important to keep the perspective. So then we go on to say in 27, this is... I want to go to 30. Actually, 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats. Okay, they're threatening them. Don't preach in the name of Jesus. We're going to bring you back to prison next time. You're not sure what we're going to do to you. Okay? They're threatening them. And they did. You read earlier in that passage. It says, and they said, Lord, consider their threats. Consider their threats, God. Oh, we're going to take away privileges from Christians. Government of Canada. Lord, consider their... Come on, let's make it practical. Let's make it practical. Who's the sovereign Lord? Might take away charitable status from the church. Lord, consider their... Oh, that's going to hurt because I won't get a tax rebate. Maybe we need a little slap around a bit. Because maybe our minds got off on other things. Lord, consider their, come on, say it. Consider their, because, you know, if it isn't this government or the next, it'll be soon coming. But Lord, consider their threats, because something more powerful is going to be spoken next. You listen to the rest of it. Consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with greater boldness. In the midst of a culture that doesn't like Christians very well. You know that's true here, don't you? You thought you were coming to a Christian country, didn't you? Seriously, you did too. You thought you were coming to a Christian country. Are you surprised and alarmed a bit? Yeah. Far from it, isn't it? But you know what they're saying? God, we need more boldness. I'm going to be confronted. And there's going to be opposition. And there will be. No matter where you go, there's going to be opposition. But Lord, give me great boldness. Give me great courage. Give me your strength. God, give us your strength. So what does the Lord do? He says, you know, I gave you courage. I gave you boldness already because Holy Spirit came upon you. Hey, were these people baptized with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2? How many of you know they were? Okay, now they're being threatened and they're feeling it. They're feeling it, right? So they're coming to God in prayer. And what does the Lord do? He fills them again with his Holy Spirit. Some people ask me, how many times can you be filled with the Spirit? Over and over again. I don't know about you, but I leak. Anybody else leak? I need to come back and say, Lord, fill me again. So what we read here is really interesting. And it says here, and now, stretch out your hand. I love this. Okay. Give us more boldness instead of shutting us up. Give us more boldness and stretch out your hand to heal, to do more healings, to perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. I don't know about you, but I need more of his Spirit. I don't know about you, but I want to get back to being the church that Jesus called me to be. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you something. The reason it spread and multiplied, I said to you in Acts 5, by the time it got to Acts 5, they said the whole city of Jerusalem is disrupted with this message. Can you imagine? The whole city. That did not happen with a gathering at the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem or the First Pentecostal Church in Jerusalem. I don't care what you call it. That didn't happen because they were in a synagogue reading their Bibles and praying. Wonderful thing to do, by the way. Don't misunderstand this now, guys. That happened because it took the word of the Lord seriously. And it said 24/7, we live it, we walk it, we carry it. So when I don't know about you guys, but one of the reasons it multiplied so quickly is they went house to house breaking bread. That doesn't mean they just had communion. That means they ate together. And it also, they went out and shared the gospel everywhere they went. It was a message. It was a hope-filled message. And here's the awesome thing about it. You know, we're afraid to share. And there's a lot of reason because I think the enemy's got this whole thing of they're not going to listen. How about we just lean on the Lord, recognize that wherever we are in life, by the way, I think one of the reasons the gospel spread is they used something that was socially normal, which was meeting in house to house. A socially normal activity. Okay? Now, maybe socially normal activity is Tim Hortons in our day. Now, I'm not saying it can't be your house. But how many people go for coffee or go out to eat? Let's have church at a table. Having church is being ecclesia, wherever you are. Don't mistake this by thinking, oh, well, we don't need to be in a community. Are you glad you're here this morning? That's what you get when you're with community. You get teaching, you get encouragement, exhortation. It's like this. I don't know, many of you don't watch football probably, but American football, do you ever notice that they go into a huddle, right? And they go into a huddle and they stir each other up, talk about the next play and next strategy, and they go do it, right? Well, church is like the gathering of a community is like that. I'm going to start using the word more carefully, but a church isn't a building. Right? Are we getting that today? Hope you are, because that's the New Testament church. So I pray now in Jesus' name, Lord, release your people. I pray now, I don't know about you, but if you want to go out there this week and you want to make a difference, just let Jesus, just recognize who you were. Come on, I want you to, I pray, Holy Spirit, I pray, God, would you show us who we were? Who do we wear? We wear Jesus as a garment. We wear Jesus. I wear Jesus. I'm going to walk in a place, and that means my character, my behavior, my action is going to be like Jesus. And when I go into a Tim Hortons, I'm wearing Jesus. So in that place, Lord, I'm wearing Jesus. I pray, Holy Spirit. See, Holy Spirit speaks to me. Holy Spirit empowers me. Holy Spirit is the agent by which Jesus operates through me. Are you with me? Do you get that? So his power is going to be released. I am praying that this week, that somehow Jesus will be communicated through you. Somehow the gospel of the kingdom will make an impact on people's lives. Don't need to be afraid of thinking what I'm going to say, what you're going to, you know, as I said, it could be just simply saying somebody at Tim Hortons, maybe the waitress or somebody who's serving you. I just want to tell you, God bless you today. How many of you know you shared the gospel with that person? Maybe you didn't share the 4 points of the gospel. You know, you need to be saved. You know, Jesus died for you, but you introduced him to the kingdom. Who knows what the next step will be? So I'm praying now that your light will shine. No, the words used for the gospel, being a disciples of Jesus, are words like, you're the salt of the... Salt goes and makes a difference. You're the light of the... What does light do? Brightens, puts out darkness. And then he says, "You, the little leaven..." Leaven, the kingdom of God is like leaven, like yeast going into a dough. What does yeast do? It rises, it permeates, it penetrates, it changes the culture of the flour to become something more than just flour. Right? That's my prayer for you this week, that you will be salt. Amen. Somehow God will use me today, this week, to be salt in Jesus' name. How many want fresh filling of the Holy Spirit? If you do, I want you to put your hand out like that. I'm just going to pray for Holy Spirit to come and give us a greater empowerment. You know, it's by faith we need to pray. I need more presence. I need more power. We have this treasure in jars of clay, and these jars of clay are leaky. My jar is leaky. I'm asking God for a fresh infilling today, a fresh empowerment today, a fresh touch of your Holy Spirit today. God, I know that you want to use me. You want to use me in my neighborhood. You want to use me in my community. God, I pray that this week there will be some presence of God. The gospel of the kingdom will go through my life. We're going to see a transformation. Even if it's one person at a time. I believe many of these conversions were one person at a time. And I pray that you would do it, Lord, through your church, through your ecclesia, through an assembly that has the authority of heaven to exercise. I pray that as you look at sickness, you'll be able to say, in the name of Jesus. What does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? It means that with the authority I carry in Jesus, sister, be healed. All pain in your body now be gone. In Jesus' name, be healed. All anxiety over your mind be gone. In Jesus' name. Stress that's causing you pain in the neck and shoulders, be gone in Jesus' name. Sleep, return in Jesus' name. You pray as the Lord shows you. You just pray and release the kingdom of God. I just prayed for her as the Lord showed me. Did I know that I was going to pray for her? No. But as soon as I got there, the Lord showed me some things to pray for. I trust God. I walk by faith and not by sight. Receive that. Receive all that. Do you receive that? Amen. See, she's receiving that because she knows there's something that God's releasing to her today. Simon and Lisa shared last week, how many of you had some measure of healing that take place in your body that you prayed for last week? Anybody here? There was some prayer offered for healing last week. I know there's, some measure. Yeah, much better. So there was people who got prayed for. Simon preached on healing. Lisa shared her testimony about healing. So we're gonna believe God that you're gonna carry it this week. You heard the expression, pay it forward. Let's pay it forward with our faith. Freely, freely we have received. Freely, freely give. Yeah. I want to hear testimonies. Next, God willing. Well, let's do that. God willing, I'm gonna hear testimonies. And be free to share those testimonies. We're going to share testimonies of opportunities that God may have given you to be a light this week, to be the salt this week, to be the leaven this week. Tony, I'm going to pray for you. Is that okay? Yeah? Young man, how old are you now? I thought so. I just want to bless. This man turned 17. I love teenagers. You know me, I love young people, I love youth. And so let's just release the blessing of God on this man. Hallelujah. You know, we don't have a lot of youth in our church in this age bracket. I know you probably feel a bit alone when you come, but I'll just tell you there's a prophetic word in that very thing I just said. Because I think sometimes you feel alone, not only in the church, but you feel alone in the world. I want you to know what God is saying in my spirit to you is that you're never alone. As a young man, younger man, you're a young man now, but as a younger man, as a young lad, you know, there was an encounter with Jesus that you had. And I'm breathing life in that encounter. I'm just saying God, you know, when I shared the word that I did with you did you read that message? I really felt that was from the Lord. I put in the Facebook Messenger when I wished him happy birthday, was I said, young man of
the Lord,
young man of God, young man of the Lord. I really saw it in my spirit. I saw that what you know, you are, you know, there's a uniqueness to you, but there's a uniqueness because it's almost like there's an unsettling in your spirit. You're kind of even finding yourself. There's a place where you're trying to find yourself, and the Lord is saying, you will find yourself. And I spoke a word over you a while ago. It's coming back to me. I said, don't let others identify you, for who you are. You are who you are. And don't be afraid of who you are. Come on, I pray for this man to rise up, to be all that you called him to be. A man of God, a young man of God, one who is ahead in everything. God says in his word, you're not the tail, but you're the head. You know, there's a kind of, it means that you're, it means that you will be a leader in many ways. In Jesus' name, we proclaim and declare that the kingdom of God is going to come out from you in every way. In your academics, in your relationships, everything will express God. And it's not religion we're talking about. We're talking relationship, where the goodness of God, the kindness of God, the love of God, compassion of God, it's all what you carry, man. You carry all that. Bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. God, I pray for this election coming up. We believe that your plan and purpose will be accomplished for this nation. First and foremost, we give you this nation. We give you this nation with the promise that you have made, that you gave to some of our forefathers, that Jesus will have dominion from sea to sea and from the rivers and to the ends of the earth. We thank you, God, that the government that's being chosen will be, even right now, that there be a righteous choice on many people. That they, you know, we prayed about this the last several days. We've been praying. We prayed last night. But I'm agreeing together with you that are gathered here that God has his hand on this election. God establishes kings and takes them down. I pray the next prime minister will be of your choosing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. I know this topic is not done because I want to talk about some practical ways that we can bring some of these things to pass. Amen. Amen. So let's look at this next couple of weeks. God bless you all. It's awesome to see you. Amen.